Hey, everybody. This is Electric Pete, and I'm just running out to my car so I can record a session. And it's going to be a session about rider stories as told by me. And it's just starting to snow, so I'm thinking that this is going to be a good time to go sit in the safety of my car and talk about these wonderfully fun things about stories that riders have, you know, that I've experienced with riders. And we're just gonna kind of wing it right here, right now. So, you know, first I wanted to kind of warm up with a couple of jokes, all right? So one day I was driving around Philadelphia. I do Uber, and I drive my Tesla around Philadelphia and pick up folks who need rides. So one day I was driving around Philly, and I saw this bumper sticker. And the bumper sticker said, "I'm not driving drunk, I'm just avoiding potholes." And so in Philadelphia, there are lots of potholes. And I thought to myself, when I saw this bumper sticker, I thought, well, you might be driving drunk, or might not, but you're definitely avoiding potholes in Philadelphia. And then one day I was out on Market Street, out near the 69th Street bus terminal. I had in front of me, all right, off to my right, I had a Dodge Charger, a Philadelphia muscle car. Behind me, there was a motorcycle. And the motorcycle was teasing the Charger. And he's going, brrr, and the Charger's responding, right? So, actually, at this time, I was driving my last car, which was a Kia Sorento, you know, an SUV, you know, nice car, not a souped up car or anything like that. So I felt left out. So next time around, right? So, yeah, you know, my Kia, it's not made to have a big muffler on it. Now, I remember actually one time I was driving on a Friday night, and this was when I was driving my Kia. So it's an SUV and has three rows, okay? So it could take bigger parties. So I picked up this bridal party from their rehearsal dinner, and the bride's sitting in the front next to me, all right? She says to me, "I'm from out of town. I'm getting married this weekend, and I need a ride to the church. Would you take me to the church?" And I'm like, sure. So all weekend long, guess what's going through my mind, right? Get her to the church on time. And I did, and it turned out great. I had right next to me, right over here, I had the bride on wedding day, and she's all in her frilly, fluffy dress sitting next to me, and I had two rows in the back of bridesmaids, and I got them to the church on time, so all was good. One day I was down at the airport, and I picked up a woman. And it turns out that she was an archaeologist. And she, in Philadelphia, the train station is called 30th Street Station because it's at 30th Street. So I took her to the train station. She's an archaeologist. And she told me that she was working on refurbishing the train station. Now, in Philadelphia, the train station is actually made of limestone. All right? So it's beautiful. Beautiful stone, a marbly kind of looking stone, but it's a gorgeous building, all right? And she was refurbishing the train station with limestone that they were pulling from the original limestone quarry. I have no idea where that was, all right? But, and she told me a story. She said, Peter, if you go inside 30th Street Station and you look at the walls, all right, you look at the walls, you will see actual fossils. So I'm like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. So for 2 years, I was telling people, you got to go to 30th Street Station and look on the walls and see the fossils, because an archaeologist told me that there's fossils on the walls, not knowing if it was true or not. So for 2 years, I'm telling people this, and they were, I pick up people, I drop them off the train station, I talk to them, I tell them stories. Don't know if anybody ever found any. I myself never found any fossils on the walls at 30th Street. I mean, when you think of fossils, you think of dinosaurs, right? Maybe a fossil could be a folded leaf in the wall. So, I never found any fossils. I did a lot of research on that. But one night, 2 years down the road, I'm giving a young guy a ride to the train station, and we're talking about this, about the archaeologist and all. And all of a sudden, the guy in the back seat, man, he's getting really excited. And I said, dude, you okay? You're not having a heart attack or anything, are you? And he tells me, he says, when I was 5 years old, my family went on a tour of 30th Street Station. And you ready for the punchline? They showed me the fossils. I'm like, oh my God, dude, I love you. I said, you know, this is fantastic. You've confirmed this story that I've been telling people for 2 years. I said, where are they? I gotta know. Where are the fossils at 30th Street Station? And he said, didn't you hear me tell you I was 5 years old? I said, all right, well, listen, I'll let you go on that one, but thanks for confirming my story. So, another story in Philadelphia, all right, there is a petroleum processing plant in South Philly going down 26th Street, Penrose Avenue, to 95, and you're going over the bridge, and on the right-hand side, all right, is the petroleum processing plant. I picked up a guy in Philly, took him down to the airport one night. We are driving by a lot of the tanks that had petroleum in them. And all of a sudden, my rider says, hey, look, there's a fire over there. And I looked, and one of the tanks was on fire. I'm like, oh my gosh. Huh. Well, it's Philly. So I drove to the airport, I dropped the guy off, he got his plane, all right, and I picked somebody else up, and we're coming back over 26th Street the other way. And the guy says, hey, look, there's a fire over there. And I look, and I'm like, okay, it's Philly, it's a bigger fire, it's Philly. So about 8 months later, I picked up a guy from the airport. And I took him to the entrance to the petroleum processing plant facility. And he was actually looking at the facility for some prospective buyers. All right. And, so I was like, okay, maybe we're getting progress here. Because they did, because of the fire, they closed down the plant. And so I dropped him off. Not 2 months later, I picked up a young lady in South Philly, and I took her to that same entrance to the petroleum processing plant. Now, she was an employee of the plant, and she told me, yeah, we're meeting our new owners today. And I'm like, you know what? The fire, the sales guy, the employee who tells me that the company's been sold. I said, I want my 1% for putting this deal together. I had all the parts together in my car, and I put it all together. So I actually, later on, I even picked up the team that was organizing the sale and the, you know, just the roll-up of the new plant. They had to do the big EPA cleanup of the site so that there were not harmful chemicals around there, because the plant had been open for 100 years. And I'm sure there were spills. I'm sure there was, you know, bad chemicals around there. But, you know, it got sold. They're building warehouses now on that site after they tore down the tanks, the petroleum tanks. And I told my story to these guys, and they kind of laughed and really didn't take it lightly when I said, where's my 1%? Look, I'll take 0.1%, just anything, because I put the deal together. I got all the players into that site so that this could be done. It's the service I provide, right? Now, so I've always been looking at ways to improve my Uber rideshare business, all right? And I've been driving for 7 years, driving Uber for 7 years. I love it. I love to drive, all right? I love to drive. I love to talk to people. And I moved 3 years ago into driving a Tesla, which creates efficiency in my business. Now, what efficiency, you ask? Well, my costs of energy, going from gas to electric, I pay 95% less. 95% less to charge my car than to put gas in my last car, which was a Kia Sorento. So that's saving me $550 a week. I just gave myself a $20,000 raise by switching cars from the Kia to the Tesla. Now, that efficiency, there's another part of that efficiency. In my Kia, my gas car, all right, everybody really hates maintaining a car, doing all the work. Every year you got to, you know, every 4,000 miles, you got to change the oil. Every year, you know, you got the muffler, you got, which always gets ruined because of the salt that they use on the roads, and the salt corrodes your muffler, and you get holes in your muffler, and et cetera. And you've got your radiator, which the radiator always breaks at some point. And you got to, you know, you get a leak there, and you get a leak in, there's just so much maintenance. In my Kia, that was my last car before my Tesla that I currently own. My Kia cost me in two and a half years, all right? It cost me $26,000 in repairs, maintenance, and upkeep. You know what? That's more than I paid for the car. So my Tesla in maintenance, I go through a fair amount of tires, but that's it. I don't have oil changes. I don't have a muffler. I don't have a radiator. I don't have all the major things that you spend your money on a gas car, on a Tesla. So it's very efficient. So in 2 years, between savings in energy and savings in maintenance, I save a lot of money. And in 2 years, I paid this car off from the savings over my Kia Sorento. So that's an amazing efficiency that I've experienced with the Tesla. Now, another point, with the Tesla, I've been able to increase my profits, okay? because I am being more efficient with the energy, being more efficient with the maintenance, I have been able to experience, you know, $30,000 a year in decreased expenses. Okay, so that's one way to be efficient. Another way that I'm being efficient in earning more is that the Tesla, you know, there's four types of rides. There's UberX, there's Comfort Electric, and there's Premier. Earning more as you go up. Okay, so because the Tesla is a luxury car, considered a luxury car, I am able to earn more money by cutting out UberX, all right? So I don't give UberX rides anymore. Comfort Electric, and Premier. There are days when I don't even use Comfort, and I do Comfort Electric and Premier, and the earnings are much greater on those. So between all of that, I actually have been able to increase my daily revenue 35% by making the switch to the Tesla and, you know, making the changes to my ride types that I accept. And all of this has led to not working 7 days a week, not working 6 days a week, but working 5 days a week and earning what I earned in 7 days a week. So there's efficiency, and there's just, it took a long time because I've owned this for 3 years. I've been driving the Tesla for 3 years. And I didn't make these changes because I didn't realize the power of owning a Tesla, which you can get a better ride type on and save a lot of money on your expenses. But it took me 2 years to figure this out. And once I figured this out, it took me a little while to kind of enact these changes. But I really enjoy driving 5 days a week. So now that means I have weekends free. Oh, and by the way, the 5 days that I do drive are Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. I don't drive weekends. And I concentrate on driving during the week. I'm on the road at 6:30 in the morning. I drive my 12 hours. I might need to charge a little bit, especially in the winter because you're using the heat a lot, and that uses more of the battery than if you're not using the heat. but I'm only driving 5 days a week. So, and I'm earning the same amount. So I'm getting paid more and driving less, which is a really great thing. But also, what this means is I got the weekend off, right? So I needed to find something to do on the weekend. So naturally, I started a podcast. And I just wanted to start a podcast to educate people about Uber, about the earning possibility of Uber, about Tesla, about my plans going forward with Tesla. And I've also added some things to my podcast, you know, talking about Uber, talking about Tesla, talking about the efficiencies, but also I've added a gratitude segment, Gratitude with Electric Beat, where I, with permission, I interview my riders and have them tell me what they're grateful for. I also have another session which is going to be, I'm planning it. We're working on getting the first episode up and running. But it's going to be with a historian in the Philadelphia area. And we're still working I am still working on how this is to be completed and what it's going to be about, et cetera. But those are two things that I'm working on. And, you know, this is a little bit about, you know, my rider stories, some funny things that have happened, and just a little bit of the technical, a little bit of the efficiency that you can get, and a little bit about earning money, some tips, some tricks about earning better money with Uber. So I wanted to just get a lot of this stuff out so that people know me, where I've been, where I'm going, and how I can help through my podcast. And that's the idea. I want to help people. I want to help people live a better life. I want to help people be happier in what they're doing and where they're going. So thank you so much for listening. I really do appreciate everybody who subscribes to my channel. And I really do appreciate you taking the time to check this out and just listen to me. And if you have any comments or have any stories or are grateful about anything, just drop me a line. I'm still working on the technical on how you do that. But there are ways through. And I'm on Spotify. I'm on YouTube. I think I'm on Amazon. And I'm just trying to get on all the social media platforms out there. But thank you again. This is Pete from Electric Pete. And I have a wonderful electric day. And I'll talk to you on the other side. Take care.